taxes done in time, but if you didn't, maybe you can get an extension. I don't know much about that, but the guys at TaxTech sure do. They have a fully qualified staff who do a great job. Not only do they prepare tax returns, they do small business consulting, payroll, and accounting. Give them a call at 859-233-1920. Tell them you heard it on Love and Life. That's TaxTech, 501 Darby Creek Road, Suite Number 5, Lexington, 859-233-1920.
Friends, it's been a long, hard winter, and you've been thinking we really need to replace the windows in this old drafty home of ours. Give our friends at Thermal Pro Home Improvements a call. They do roofing, siding, windows, gutters. They'll do a great job for you at a real good price. That's our friends at Thermal Pro Home Improvement. The phone number is 548-9390. That's 548-9390.
Brother Curtis, it's good to be back again with you here today at the radio station, and really enjoyed the last couple of messages that you did, on the mind, And we're going to be talking today about something that goes along with that. I've called it Power for Kingdom Living. And, you know, we've been following the theme of the kingdom of heaven as it is here on earth. Jesus said, "My kingdom is within you." That also means that we are in the kingdom. The entire book of Matthew deals with the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus said this. His disciples had asked him about the end times and what were the signs of his coming. And he said this in Matthew 24:14, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Gospel means good news. Amen. So he said the good news of the kingdom will be preached. There is the good news of salvation, and that is wonderful, and we should be preaching it. But Jesus did not say the good news of salvation will be preached in all nations, although that is a part of the message of the kingdom, but it's not the total message of the kingdom. Jesus said the good news of the kingdom will be preached, and then the end will come. Now, I'm trusting that we have new listeners today, so I'm going to repeat some of the things that I have said before. Now, I am not teaching that heaven is here on earth or that hell is here on earth, and the only difference is what you make of it. I know that there are people that are teaching that kind of stuff, but it's wrong according to Scripture, and I certainly believe that the Bible is God's Word, and if you're teaching something that is not God's Word, it is what I would call a damnable doctrine. In other words, false doctrine will damn your soul, and you will end up in hell, a place that God did not prepare for man. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. And so if you listen to the false teaching, then that's where you're going to end up. What I am teaching today, and we will be teaching throughout this program, and we'll continue teaching that, whether we're in a church, wherever that we go, wherever we're called in to preach, wherever that we might be, we're going to continue preaching the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven here on earth, because we are in God's kingdom. What I am teaching is this, very simply. If you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
And that means now. When I refer to the kingdom of heaven, I'm not referring to that place where the born-again believers go when we die. But I am referring to our present state as Christians. The terms kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are often used interchangeably in Scripture. I am saying that we don't have to wait until we're dead to enjoy the benefits of being born again. God said to Moses, "My name is I Am, not I was or I will be, but I am." He is the God of now. He is the ever-present one.
Yes.
He is the great I Am. He is with us today. Jesus even
Absolutely.
Went on to say, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Mm. That's the one that I am serving today, the great I Am. I am now. Being a Christian is the greatest thing possible. Yes, there is heaven at the end of the way. I call that my retirement plan. My retirement plan is out of this world.
Absolutely.
But right now, I tell you, I am enjoying life. We named this program Love and Life because we're living in the kingdom and we're loving it. Well, a person's last words are very important, and I've studied that, and I like to go in, like in the four Gospels and other places, read the last words of Jesus or the last words of Paul or the last words of the different prophets and so on. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, now Jesus was talking to his disciples. This was already after the resurrection. The crucifixion had been done. Jesus was talking to his disciples. And this message also goes to us. We call this section of Scripture the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, verse 18, it says this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority,'" now listen to this, "'all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" The King James Version says, instead of the word authority, it says power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. I want to be talking about power today. Power for kingdom living. Actually, you know, even though King James says power, and Matthew 28:18 in the NIV says authority. Authority is actually a better translation for that Greek word. You know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the word that is used there is exousia. And it is better translated as, listen to this, authority or jurisdiction. Mm. Jesus says, I have jurisdiction in heaven, in all of heaven, and in all of earth. You know, one of my favorite movies, to be quite honest with you, it's been on reruns so many times, I've kind of got tired of watching it. I like the old Western movies. This is the movie Silverado. You might have seen it. It's kind of a long movie.
My wife loves them things.
And Danny Glover is in it, and he had a old Henry rifle, and I love those old rifles, those brass-plated rifles. They're just beautiful guns. And actually, I saw one at the gun show for $21,000, so I don't own one, by the way. And that was a cheap one. I've seen them for $50,000. Anyway, Danny Glover's using this Henry rifle, and he'd got run out of town. And then the good guys, Scott Glenn, I think, was one of those, and Kevin Kline, they had got run out of town. And the sheriff was John Cleese, who was playing the sheriff, and I like him. I was surprised he ever played a Western. But anyway, they're chasing the guys. The posse is after them. And Danny Glover's up in the rocks just shooting, just trying to scare them off. He's not trying to hit anything. And they stopped, and he shot the sheriff's hat off. And so he started just turning around and go back to town. One of the guys in the posse said, but your jurisdiction ends way over there. They're still in your jurisdiction. And he says, today, my jurisdiction ends here. Well, sometimes I think Christians take that attitude. Our jurisdiction ends here because it's easier. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we want to take the easy route. But I want to paraphrase what Jesus said just for a moment. He said, all heaven and earth is my jurisdiction. I am in authority, and I am sending you forth in that same authority. I tell you, Christians sometimes seem to have the attitude that we are not in authority. We seem to think that the whole world is in authority. And I've heard people say some of the dumbest things. Well, you know, the devil is in control of this old world. Well, he may be in control of the world, but he's not in control of me. And
Absolutely.
He's not in control, or should not be in control, of God's people. We have authority in the name of Jesus. Last week, Curtis was talking, actually the last 2 weeks, he's talking about your mind and the way that we think about things. And he talked about that in the book of Mark, where chapter 5, where he cast out the demons of the demoniac that was living in the tombs and breaking chains and all that. And he cast out, you need to read that if you're not familiar with the story. It's Mark chapter 5. Also, there was a woman who had an issue of blood, and I wish I had time to talk about that today. Actually, it was her menstrual cycle that would not stop. I mean, it was just going on continuously. It's been going on for 12 years, if you can imagine that. Mm-hmm. And so she just touched the hem of Jesus' garments, and she was healed. There was also a man who come to Jesus and got word that his daughter had died, and Jesus just healed him, not a problem. So he had authority over demons, over disease, and over death. And he has given that authority to us as Christians. Well, I remember in I think it was in 1993 or 94, I was working for a certain company. And one day, the owner of the company came to me, wanted me up in his office. So I went up to see what was going on. He offered me the job of department manager. And I said to him, I will take the job on one condition. He said, what's that? I said, I have to have the authority to get the job done. And he said, I won't give you the job unless I give you the authority.
Amen.
That's what Jesus has done when he called us to be his disciples and told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Matthew 28, as I've just read, Jesus was addressing his disciples, which also includes us. He was saying, I am sending you forth as my representatives to preach the gospel unto all nations. And I'm paraphrasing again. He said, you are my ambassadors. You have the authority to get the job done. Do you remember when he sent out the 70 disciples? You can read about that in different books. It's in the Gospels. He sent them out to preach the gospel, to cast out demons. And he said, when you see the sick, recover him. This is still our message today, and we have the authority to accomplish it. Now, I want to look at some more scripture on power. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, this is, again, some of the last words. This is in the book of Luke, last chapter of Luke. He said to his disciples again, he said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, underline promised. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Underline power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is also written by Luke, words of Jesus, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In those two scriptures, and we'll be looking at some other scriptures, there is a different Greek word that is used there. I said the word used in Matthew, where Jesus said, all authority is given me, that word is exousia. But in Luke chapter 24 and in Acts 1:8, the word that's translated as power, I want you to get this one, is dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis.
Dynamite.
Right. It's the same word where we get the word dynamite. He's talking about power, strength. He's talking about something. Actually, one translation of that word calls it miraculous power, or simply to be able or possible. I'm giving you the authority, but I'm also giving you the strength, the power to accomplish what I've sent you out to do. Here's my paraphrase. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be enabled to do whatever is necessary to spread the gospel all over the world, and nothing will be able to stop you. In Matthew, Jesus gave us the authority to get the job done. In the scripture I just read in Luke and Acts, he promised power or strength to get the job done. Now, let's look at some more scripture. And you used this one last week, too, Curtis. You can tell great minds think alike. Actually, we don't even get together and work on these messages. We just plan them out separately or study them out separately and pray about it and let God lead us. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Again, the word used there is dunamis. I've given you some dynamite. Man, why are you afraid? Go ahead, Brother Curtis.
I just had a thought while you were talking about that. I was thinking about my son, and I'll make that clear here in a minute. My son is a police officer, and a lot of times he has to go direct traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll get out in the middle of traffic. Now, here's a human standing out in the middle of a bunch of cars, and they're driving and whizzing by and everything, and he holds up his hand, and the cars stop.
Right.
Now, he does not have the dunamis power. He don't have the power physically to stop that car, but he has the authority to stop that car. And so when he holds his hand up, it's not, I mean, that car could run over him,
right?
But it stops because the authority that he has been given from something that is above him. And so we have the authority, not because we have the dunamis or the dynamite, you know, the Satan's a strong fella,
right?
You know, not because we have the dunamis power, but we have the authority that's been given to us from what is above us, and that's God. So
Amen.
We have been given from a higher power. We have been given the power to stop him in his tracks just the way my son stops that traffic when he holds his hand up. I was just thinking about that while you, I thought that was such a good illustration of that while you was talking about that.
You know, Brother Curtis, when I was in the Army, I was an MP, military police, and I've stood out there and directed traffic like that. And, you know, you just hold up your hand and the cars stop. You motion them, go on, they go on. And you have the authority to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few years ago, I was driving down this little country road, just a road barely wide enough to pass cars on, and this woman had hit a deer. So I pulled over and stopped, got my vehicle out of the way, and was trying to direct traffic. I did exactly the way I did when I was in the military. And I had this one woman, she come right on through. She wasn't going to stop. She didn't recognize my authority because officially I didn't have any. And I know she almost ran over my foot. I had to jump back to keep her from running over my foot. because I did not have a badge of authority, she did not respect me standing there directing traffic. But Jesus has given us the authority that we can handle anything that we go up against.
He's given us the badge of the blood.
Right. Amen.
I thought, boy,
that just hit
my mind said that, the badge of the blood. Man.
I'm going to go back and read this 2 Timothy again. God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you have fear, it is not from God.
No.
And the Holy Spirit, and if we have time, we'll get on down to some more scriptures here about the boldness of the apostles. And I don't think we're going to get to it today. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind that you talked about last week. Here's another good one. Revelation chapter 3. You remember John was on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord appeared to him, and he told him, I want you to write letters to the seven churches of Asia. And in chapter 2 and chapter 3, he's writing to the churches. And in chapter 3 and verse 8, he's talking to the church of Philadelphia. And a lot of Bible scholars believe these churches are prophetic. And they believe that we're actually living in the time of Philadelphia today. Other people say we're not. I don't get into that. But I want you to listen to what he says to them. I know your deeds. And he says this to almost every church. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door. Get that. No one can shut that door that I have opened. And, let me back up and read again. my mind's going ahead of my reading, I guess. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have a little dunamis. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I know you have a little strength. Dunamis is the word that's used there. Mm. You may just have a little bit of strength. You may think, well, we're just a small church. I remember Brother Stan Toler said that he went to a church one time. It was very small, mostly older people. At one time had been a growing church, but they had just not been relevant to the community and whatever. Anyway, things had happened. And so they said, you know, we're willing. We're just all old people. What can we do? And he said, what can you do? They said, we can write letters. He said, then let's write letters. So they started writing letters to everybody in the community, and they started to build the church up again. And so that's what Jesus is saying to this church. Maybe you're down. Maybe you're discouraged, but you still got your faith.
Amen.
You've got just a little bit left. You've got a little bit there you can use. Use that dunamis, that power that I have given you.
Yes.
And you talked about it when you talked about vision, that it's not about what we can do, but it's about what God can do through us, a little bit of strength. And he was speaking words of encouragement to the church. He said, you have a little power. You have some dynamite left. Use it. I've set before you an open door. You have an unopposed opportunity to be my witnesses. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Perhaps you're discouraged, but you haven't lost your faith. Use what you have. Faith is like a muscle. You must exercise it to get it to grow. If you want more power with God, use what you already have.
Absolutely. Use what you have. If you're not using it, you'll lose it. I've heard people say that about sports and things. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
That's the same thing
with faith. If you don't use it, you'll lose it.
You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, Paul warns that in the last days, there will be terrible times that will come.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, men will have a form of godliness, but denying the power. Again, he uses the word dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that God is serious about giving his church some power. The church is the bride of Christ, and Jesus wants his bride to have power. And I often thought about that when Paul talked about the last days, we'd have a form of godliness, but denying the power. And I wonder if that doesn't describe the church, at least in America, today.
It does.
A church without power. You wrote that song, if there's no fire in the pulpit, there'll be no power in the pew. And you wrote that because of some of the things you've seen in churches as you travel mm-hmm. around and doing evangelistic work and preaching. And sometimes you go into churches, a term that I absolutely makes me uncomfortable. A lot of churches today are talking about we're having our spring revival or we're having our fall revival, In other words, we do this twice a year because it's a ritual.
Right.
We do this every year, and we've got it lined up for the next 5 years who's going to come and preach our spring revival. I wish we could have revival, not just a form of godliness, not just doing things because mm-hmm. we've always done it that way. And I've heard churches say, well, Pastor, that doesn't describe our church. Man, 3 years ago we had revival. We had two people saved. Well, hallelujah. You know, that is great anytime two people get saved or somebody gets healed or something. But, you know, those things should be the normal everyday workings of the church. You shouldn't have to have a revival once a year to get two people saved.
Absolutely.
You know, God wants his church to have power. And we can have power through being filled with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. God bless you.
We want to thank those of you who support us financially and prayerfully. We have a special offer for you. For those who would give a donation of $20 to the ministry, we have a CD of the Love and Life Trio. And you've heard the song No Fire in the Pulpit on there. And there's other songs on there that you'll be hearing. But for everyone who give a $20 donation, we have that CD for you that we'll get out to you. And then also, if you don't want the CD, I've also written a book about long life, longevity. How long are we supposed to live? Have you ever heard somebody say something like this? Well, you never know when your time's up. When your time's up, your time's up. Can I tell you that that's not biblical, and the Bible does have something to say about it? You ask people, how long is man supposed to live? And they'll say, well, 60 to 70 years. Can I tell you that's not what the Bible says? It is in there, but that's not a reference to what God says about how long we're supposed to live. And so I sat down and did a one-year study on longevity according to what the Bible says. And so I wrote a little 50-page book on it. And if you'll give a $20 donation, you can get the book. You can have the CD or the book. But if you want both, for a $30 donation, we give you both of those and get them out in the mail to you. Thank you once again for your financial and prayerful support. Thanks for listening to this segment of Loving Life, sponsored by Loving Life Ministries. We are available for concerts, revivals, special services, or maybe your pastor just needs a day off. Just give us a call at 859-396-9430. Or if this program has been a blessing to you, drop us a card or a letter to Loving Life, Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky. That's Loving Life at Post Office Box 977, Nicholasville, Kentucky, 40356. We do appreciate your prayers and financial support for this ministry.
I'm T.J. Matthews, and your Central Kentucky forecast is brought to you in part by ebusinessreportlexington.com, free resources to help you grow your business. For today, there's a 30% chance of showers, cloudy, high middle 60s with west winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour, 30% chance of showers overnight, cloudy, low 48. Tomorrow, Monday, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy, high 60. Skies becoming clear Monday night, low 44. There's your forecast from the Weatherbug Center at 770 a.m. and 93.3 FM, The Eagle.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support.
I'm Heather Clary with your Better Business Bureau. If you're in the market for a used car, remember that there is no lemon law for used vehicles, only new ones. Used cars are sold as is. Once you sign the papers and take the car, you're responsible for any repairs, unless you bought an extended warranty that covers the problem. The dealer is not required to take it back for a refund. And always have a used car checked by another garage before signing the papers. Use caution with dealers that won't allow this. Check out car dealerships before shopping at bbb.org.
WCGW, Nicholasville, The Eagle 93.3 FM and 770 AM, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
The following program is sponsored by Focus on the Family.
Welcome to Focus on the Family's weekend broadcast. We hope the following program will challenge you and encourage you in your faith journey.
But I really also think that women are victims of peer pressure like they've never been before. Mm. And one of the reasons we